The Book of the Acts of the Apostles, a handbook for life in the church. Have you ever considered how much of the Christian story would be unknown to us if we did not have the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament? I invite you to think about that. Because the story of Christ as we know it would actually end with the resurrection. Only Luke, who is also the author of Acts, mentions even the ascension. Without the book of the Acts, there would be only a promise of Pentecost and no record of whether or not it had occurred. Without the Acts of the Apostles, there would be for us no account of what happened in Jerusalem amongst the followers of Jesus in those days after the resurrection. All of that part of the story comes to us from the material that is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. Without the Acts of the Apostles, there would be no account of how the early church was planted, how it grew, and how it spread in the world in its earliest days. In fact, you know, without the Acts of the Apostles, we would know almost nothing about the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul and those associated with him. We would be left to ponder how Paul's letters fit into the story of what was happening. The book of the Acts provides us with a framework. And so as we read Paul's letters, we do so in the context of knowing the story that's preserved in the book of the Acts. It's a very significant element in our understanding of what went on in those crucial days. Because if we were to end our understanding of that time with the events of the gospel recorded concerning the resurrection, we would be left with the impression of a very small, strongly committed, but very small group of believers who knew this story. And we would surely ponder and wonder, what happened? How did it all come about that within a generation this Christian faith was distributed throughout the Mediterranean world? That story comes to us from the account we know of as the Acts of the Apostles. It was penned by Luke, physician, one who also recorded the gospel account that bears his name. But Luke was also someone who was deeply involved in the events that are recorded in Acts. Because in parts, in some sections of the Acts of the Apostles, Luke actually writes in the first person plural, you know, when he says, we did this, indicating and confirming that he was actually present at some of those events that he records. And as he was someone who was very close to Paul, he had access to the details. And by the grace of God, they were preserved in this book we know of as the Acts of the Apostles, and we're blessed as a consequence. Otherwise, those early days would be just a mystery, And we could only guess at how things happened. And while the Acts of the Apostles doesn't tell us every detail about the spread of the early Christian church, it gives us a picture which allows us to see how, by the grace of God and the working of God's Spirit and in the power of Pentecost, these things happened. Now, the Acts of the Apostles also gives us a bit of a handbook for the Christian church. It's not set down as a series of rules, you know, do this and here's how to hold meetings. It's set down in the narrative of the story of the things that happened, the real events. And some of those events were a little confusing. Some of those events were events that were less than perfect. But they help us see how that early Christian community dealt with a number of challenges that they faced and which the Christian church has faced in every generation since. We're told in Acts how the church dealt with change because it was a time of immense change in the lives of those believers. It gives us clues as to how they dealt with problems that emerged. And there were problems. And there are always problems for communities to face together, even Christian communities. There are, in that narrative in Acts, descriptions of how they organized themselves for action. Again, not by setting down a series of rules, but simply by describing for us how that early Christian community went about dealing with problems that arose. It tells us a considerable amount about how they cultivated fellowship, which becomes the hallmark of the Christian community. And it tells us a lot about how that early Christian church related to the world around it. And as I said, if we want to understand what church ought to look like, we can go back to the Acts of the Apostles and draw from there many insights as to the nature and the quality of life that the Christian church has to cultivate to be faithful to its calling. I want to illustrate that with that passage from Acts 6 that Carol read for us this morning. There was a problem emerged, one amongst many, not all of which are surely recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, but one of the challenges that arose in that early Christian community was that there was a little dispute or a difference of opinion between the Hellenists, who were the Greek-speaking Hebrews or Jews, and the Hebrew-speaking or Aramaic-speaking Jews. And that was kind of the dividing line, because this new Christian community comprised primarily at the beginning those who had been nurtured in the Jewish faith, but they were somewhat divided in their midst by language. Some spoke Greek, some spoke Aramaic. And a problem arose because, you see, in previous times in Jerusalem, the care of the widows and orphans had fallen on the faith community, namely Judaism. And as the Christian community began to be seen to be distinct from that Hebrew beginning or Jewish beginning, that Christian community had to establish its own plan for caring for the needs of the widows and orphans, because they were no longer sort of being cared for by their original faith community. And the complaint arose from the Greek-speaking Hellenists that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. A significant problem that needs to be dealt with. You can't just brush it under the carpet. You have to deal with it. So how did they deal with it? Well, Luke records that the 12, that is the 11 original disciples and the one who had been chosen to take Judas's place, the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples, got them all together. Even in doing that, you see, there's a little direction for us as to how you go about things. And they said to them, "It is not right that we should neglect the word in order to wait on tables." In other words, this is a practical problem which must be dealt with, but we can't do it all as the 12. So their advice to the community was, "Friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task." Now remember, the original complainants were the Greek-speaking people who felt that their widows were being neglected. Now listen to the names of those who were chosen to deal with the problem. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, who was a proselyte of Antioch. Every single one of them being a Greek name. In other words, the community, in appointing those to solve a problem which involved a perceived neglect of the Greek community, Greek-speaking community, chose Greek-speaking people to deal with it. Wonderful demonstration of how to face problems in community. And what they said pleased the whole community. And then the disciples had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. They gave them their blessing. They shared their authority with them so that they could deal with the problem which was being experienced. And then, as he does from time to time, Luke threw in just a little summary statement. There are beautiful little statements like this spread out through the Acts of the Apostles. Luke says, "The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." And that tells us, in summary form, quite a bit, actually. The word continued to spread. The number of disciples, that is, the number of people who subscribed to that word, who affirmed it, increased greatly. And even a great number of the priests who would have been of the Jewish faith, not yet converted to Christianity, came to believe and joined the Christian community. This now is just a little snapshot of one event in the life of the early church. It's a beautiful picture of how a problem was faced and dealt with, but it also, in its own way, provides clues, directions, helps, incentives for the Christian community to deal with issues that arise in its midst. And the Acts of the Apostles, this account that Luke makes, is full of examples such as this, which describe real life circumstances amongst that early Christian community. And at the same time, without just making a set of rules about them, provides us in the Christian community, which continues, with the insights and guidance of the Lord for how we also live out the faith in community together. This is the big picture of Acts. You can delve into it at various points and pull out the insights that arise from individual circumstances. But I simply encourage you in the reading of Acts, and that you might read it not simply as a way of learning the history, fascinating as though that is. It gives us also insight into the true nature of Christian community, that we might aspire to build and sustain that sort of faith community in subsequent generations, right here in our time and place where we are. And that becomes, you see, the sort of community which has an impact. As Luke notes, after describing that division, if you will, between the Hellenists and the Hebrew-speaking believers, it points us in helpful directions. It is also, let me just add this sort of to tie it all up together, it also represents the fulfilling of the Lord's prayer on behalf of his disciples. I read those verses from John 17, where Jesus is praying for the ones that the Lord, his Father, has entrusted to him. And his prayer was that they might be one, as he was one with the Father. And Acts helps us see how Christ's prayer on behalf of his disciples was being fulfilled in the first generation of believers that followed. Well, we'll come back to Acts for another quick glimpse next week. Understand this could be a series of 27 or more sermons, but it's not. It's just another quick look at Acts to see another side of this issue in the early church, and that is the side of how this early Christian community, essentially at the beginning just a handful of people, were led by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit to take the good news out into all the known world. And we'll look at that next week. Friends, rejoice in what the Lord has preserved for us, and in this account, in the Acts of the Apostles, for it is good news for us and for his people. Thanks be to God. Amen.